Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf, May 14th, 2020. Roll call. Do you want me to do it, or are you going to? Okay. Okay. Clemens? Gallagher? Springer? Tansy? Here, I saw.
Here.
And Tomberg is here.
Present.
So what we got, 1, 2, 3, is that right? I think we're right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
This is a Board of Adjustment meeting. We are a body that's appointed by the mayor. Our function is to review certain matters that come properly before us. They include adjustments to decisions that are made by the staff, as well as variances. We have, excuse me. We have four items, I think, coming before us tonight. Normally, we're in a position to be able to vote on the items at the end as they come up. The next item of business is minutes for the April 9th meeting. We've all received those minutes. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No.
Okay, I don't see any. How about a motion to approve the minutes then?
So I'll move to approve.
I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is case 20-0009. It's for 3557 Middle Road. It's a C3. It's a special use permit to allow an outdoor service area associated with a bar, and it's submitted by the Quarry Quad Cities LLC. This was deferred from the last meeting. Greg, do you want to take this one and the other one together, or take them separately?
They're going to be one decided, I guess, in somewhat the same way. But what we have is a deferral on this, and as you can see with the overhead here in slide A, location is at Middle Road and Devil's Glen Road, essentially, just due east of Devil's Glen Road, southeast of Whitey's location and south of Arby's. Go to slide B, you can see the front of the quarry right here. And this area out front is where they wanted to locate the patio. If you go to slide C, you can see the distance that this area is from the surrounding businesses, or I should say surrounding properties, and there's a substantial distance in that regard. If we go to slide D, we see the bar and patio plan as laid out, and the square footage on that, and then the requirements that eventually are going to be generating the parking. If we go to slide D, what we see is the breakout of the parking, and essentially, as you went on site, you would note that there were not as many parking spaces that were originally shown on the site plan. And we started with those totals, we ran through them, and we came up with a deficit of parking that was substantially higher than what it had originally been shown on the plan. And we went through the totals and essentially came up with something that was higher than 20 spaces in deficit, more closer to 30. So in looking at the overall way in which special uses are evaluated, you can look at the steps that we were including in the packet. If we look at step number 5 regarding the standards that are in there in attachment E, we can see that parking is one of those issues, and then there are some other things as well that are listed in there. The petitioner has also provided photos of the site when they were taken, one I guess during daylight hours and then the other during nighttime hours, and those are attachments, that's attachment G. That is underneath. And then also there was a packet provided by the petitioner that we're trying to show here.
Bear with us.
And essentially that packet, what the petitioner is attempting to show is some of the spaces that could potentially be available. We, in looking at this, pretty much see that the business is limited to what is on site, and that other businesses are going to have to coexist or share with this business. When this site plan originally came through, there was no anticipation of a bar going in at this location. That's why when you look at the site plan, you're looking at the totals for other types of businesses. We maybe thought a restaurant might go in, and that entails a total of one half the number of spaces that there would be for a bar. And as we go and look at, again, slide D, we can see, again, going through and looking at those totals, what we came up with in net that was needed, and that's sort of the hurdle that's faced here. So given the totals that were shown on slide D, that's what we're looking at as a deficit. And how that parking may be shared between certain parties is going to be difficult to determine.
Okay. Is that your report then at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody on the commission have any questions of Greg?
Is the owner present or on the call?
Yes.
Yep.
So with the documents that we got in the last couple days, one of my questions is, it was noted in there that they assumed that an outdoor patio was going to be included or approved. I was just wondering, because it seems like there was not enough spaces to begin with, and then even before the outdoor patio conversation.
Yep. Hey there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, why don't you state your name and if you have some input into that.
You got it. My name is Andy Gadient. I'm one of the owners and the bar manager of the quarry. Appreciate you guys meeting with us. In reference to those slides that we showed earlier, the ones that are actually up right now, those are three more spaces that we actually added last week, I believe. Basically, what we're looking at is we realize that the shared parking is where the issue lies. And last meeting that I was in, I said that I would come back when I had solutions for you guys. I've done all the footwork between all of our neighbors. I've explained our position, what we plan on doing. And like I said, those three spots we added last week because our neighbors to the south there are more than happy to accommodate and help us out. with getting this patio going, we don't see a lot of conflict in the parking. I mean, granted, we only had 2 weeks, you know, before we got the shutdown and everything. As far as the busy hours go, we're surrounded by fast food for one thing, so we're not having people sit in the parking lot for any extended period of time there. And as far as us taking up any business that they'd have, I mean, a lot of these businesses will be gaining seating for their own business as we're going to let whoever come sit on the patio, enjoy their Whitey's, enjoy their Arby's, their Jimmy John's, what have you. So we've done literally all the legwork and talked to all the neighbors that would be affected by this, and so far around the board, everybody's in favor and willing to help out however we can.
Does that answer your question, Gwen?
Well, I mean, I guess one of the documents that we received was a partial email from Jeff Thunberg, and it was not the whole email, and it looked like there was an agreement that was made. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, the thing with Jeff was, I'm sorry, I thought both attachments got put there, was just saying that we would be willing to put up signs that basically would just tell people that the Whitey's parking is for Whitey's only.
So that doesn't increase your parking? Your agreement with Tom Burks doesn't increase your parking at all?
Right, no. The increase in parking came from Colo Hub to our south.
Colo, right, okay.
Yes, sir.
I apologize because this is so awkward with out having face-to-face, but can the city, Brent or somebody, talk about the options that Andy has provided and whether or not those are even doable? Brent's not here.
He would have to have almost a special location plan, because I believe the Colo Hub is on another lot of record, and that would be a requirement under our Board of Adjustment ordinance. The other issue, I don't know how many spaces Colo Hub is providing to make up for the shortage, and it would entail another procedure to do that, because I believe that this is on one lot of record and Colo Hub is on another lot of record.
One of the things in the email was the option of taking out the landscaping in the front, and I don't believe that is an option, correct?
No, it is not. That's landscaping is required.
So we have a shortage of parking spaces already, and then it'll be even less with, and I'm not even sure any of the options, Andy, that you had given us were doable. That's I guess where I'm coming from right now.
Okay, the way we were looking at it is it'll take two spaces for our patio. And we provided three spaces with the help of Colo Hub just to the right of where the rest of our parking is. So basically along the west side of the building, or east side of the building, I'm sorry.
So what is
the... Go ahead.
I was going to say what you've got is a net gain of one over...
Yep.
The original application.
Yep. We got the initial approval for the bar, I guess, despite the parking issues. So, you know, the one thing that we discussed was that we were not going to be penalized for that, obviously. So our hope is that with still adding a whole nother spot to what we already didn't have, that we're making up for the two spaces that we would need, as well as provide another.
Any other questions for Andy at this point?
Jason, do you want to
Does anybody else want to speak in favor of the application?
Yep,
go ahead.
I do have one more question, you guys. The way that the drawing is this outdoor patio going to infringe on the sidewalk at all? I mean, can I walk from one end of the mall to the other using the sidewalk and not being in the way of the outdoor seating?
My name is Jason McCoy, and I'm one of the owners. I believe according to the code, we had to and close it off on the sidewalk due to becomes an extension of the bar. So therefore, on the east end, we have to put railing or something up so that patrons cannot walk out of the bar or patio area at that end. I mean, we're totally open to leaving it open if that is allowed, but we were understood that we had to make that patio kind of a sectioned off area so that people couldn't walk through, walk in, walk out through two different exit entrances. So on that east side, we were bringing it all the way to the building. So the entrance to our patio would be on the west side closest to our door. So you'd come right out our front door and then enter right into the patio. And then the patio railing is going to go out basically around and come back around to the building on the east side. So it would technically, the way it's drawn now, we're not opposed to doing it either way, but it would technically eliminate walking from one end of the building to the other end.
And again, who's ever there from the city, is that an issue?
Excuse me, what was that? Excuse me? Sorry, I didn't quite catch the question.
I think she's asking Greg if that's an issue with the city.
Typically, I think we would want to have circulation because I guess the alternative is that then people have to go around the area that's cordoned off. If they wanted to, they may have to be in the parking lot or just go directly to the business by pulling up in front of it or something. The internal circulatory matters, usually we don't get too involved with them unless it's an ADA issue. If it's Americans with Disabilities Act issue, then it becomes a different situation, and I don't have the background to speak to that.
So if I couldn't go from one end of the mall to the other without going down around the outdoor patio, that means that if I am restricted to a wheelchair that needs to have handicap access down, around, and up on the other side. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Chris Curran. I don't know exactly where the what the conversations were relating to the circulation. I think that we would work through, if the special use permit is granted, we would work with the applicant to ensure that there aren't any ADA issues and that there's all compliance with code relating to circulation. It does seem to me to make more sense to allow passage all the way from one end of the mall to the other. And if the special use permit is approved, we would work with them to make sure that there's compliance with code and federal law.
And I'm sorry, who was talking just now?
This is City Attorney Chris Curran.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Okay, you wanted to address us in connection with the application? You got anything to add to it, I think?
Yeah, yep. Again, my name's Jason McCoy, and I'm one of the owners of the Quarry. So yeah, when we did originally apply to get this bar there, it was under our assumption and our failure to assume that we would automatically be allowed a patio on the exterior. We just kind of took for granted and assumed that if we were allowed a bar, well, pretty much every other bar in Bettendorf has a patio, at least any newer bars like that all have patios. So we kind of assumed that falsely on our end. And had we known that, which is our fault, we probably would have totally picked a different location. And now that we're $250,000 invested into this community, we just really hope that you guys would work with us on this thing. And as we were talking earlier, the spaces, we did technically go out. They are on Colo's side, but we literally painted three more parking spots in the back. It's to the east adjacent of our back door there. And we talked to the owner of Colo, and he was totally fine with that. So that was one option to kind of offset the two parking spots we are losing. We do have a sign on our back door. It is lighted, it's unlocked so people can enter or exit from the rear also. The pictures that we took, they were on March 13th, which was the day before St. Patty's Day, before we were shut down. And I specifically took the pictures. One was at 4:14 p.m. Two different directions.
this one help you?
Next one, I believe. Next one after that.
Okay.
Next one after that.
Okay.
Keep going. It's the pictures that I actually took of the parking lot. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. So I actually stood out there. I personally took those pictures. They were taken on March 13th, the day before St. Paddy's Day, which is on a Friday, and it was at 4:14 p.m. I was on the east side of the parking lot and took pictures to the northwest area, as you can see Arby's and everything in the background. And then I took pictures to the south towards Colo, where you can kind of see our fence for the dumpsters. Now, this fence where the dumpsters are at, that's where we actually painted three more spots just to the south of that section. So those pictures were taken at 4:14, still showing ample parking on a Friday. And then again, when I left at 7:57 p.m., same day, I reshot the same pictures from the same spot. And we still have ample parking on those days. One thing that we think on the availability, again, it's just an opinion, but with Jimmy John's, a lot of their business is drive-through, so they're really not even using a lot of parking. Arby's has been a lot of, obviously everybody's been drive-through at this point, but Arby's is not a real, say, 5 o'clock dinner time area, so they're not going to be taking up a lot of parking during our time either. So we feel that those things kind of open up some parking spaces for us on those ends. So some of our adjacent businesses that are there are kind of not necessarily the hours of our busy time. They overlap maybe a little bit towards that 5-6 o'clock range, but we do, you know, think that that would definitely help on the parking situation in that area. We also kind of did some of the surrounding buildings. On, we have 89 parking spots, and we added three more towards the back. I did some searches on like Crawford Brew Works. They have 32 spots in front and 15 in back. The Oscar's Pub and the Foundry parking, they have 50 spaces around Oscar's Pub and 28 spots over by the Foundry side. So they got a total of 78. So I know all the calculations are different. They're different restaurants, different places. But we technically have more parking closest to the proximity door than any of these other bars do, even losing those two spaces. When you walk out our front door, we have a row, another row, then a drainage area, another row, and another row. We got four straight rows of parking right out our front door for access on it. And obviously one of our big worries going ahead is all this stuff with COVID, losing our capacities and our restrictions. It's been super tough on us just being open 2 weeks. We can't get any help from government, nothing. We're on our own paying stuff. And we feel that this social distancing, people are really going to want to be outside, so it's going to be really important and vital to our bar to hopefully get this patio. We also feel we're on the bike route, so we feel a lot of people will be stopping by from biking, jogging, walking, and those people will not be taking up parking spaces either. And our parking is only, patio season's only a small amount of time in the Midwest here. So we're talking 5 months max to where we might have a little more parking than normal on it. So those are kind of just the things we've went through. And like I say, we did try and add those three parking spots. We physically went out and painted them. And I actually do have pictures of people actually parking in those parking spots. They were there today and they were there yesterday. I'm assuming it's just workers in the building, but people are using those spots that we actually painted. So I think that's all I got.
Okay, thank you.
That's my case.
Okay. I don't see anybody here. Does anybody want to wish to speak and opposed to the application? I don't think there's anybody online either. Okay.
Bob, this is Gwen. I have more questions. Good. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I will get to that.
Oh, sorry.
No, go right ahead.
This is to Greg, and My big question right now is, there's no doubt there's been a lot of investment there. The timing of this is atrocious with COVID. What were to happen if we allowed this outdoor patio to be built and it doesn't work out? So what happens then? Because I think that there's been some agreements made and insinuations, especially with Whitey's, and obviously Whitey's in March and Whitey's in July are two different businesses. So as much as I appreciate your pictures, I think that March is just a whole different month when it comes to the patrons at Whitey's. But again, if it were to get built out and not work, what happens?
Well, I defer to our legal counsel on that because it probably involved pulling the special use. I don't know what would happen to the patio, what we may do to, you know, it's hard to say, but the special use permit, that's more of a legal issue of having it pulled, and I would say Mr. Curran would be able to elaborate.
So this is Chris Curran again. Once the special use permit is granted, if it were granted, then it's granted, and we can't take it away at that point. I think there are conditions that could be added to any special use permit. I guess I would just say, from what I've heard, and from my understanding of what was agreed upon before, was that a special use permit was issued initially to allow the bar use, and the proposed outdoor area adds 650 square feet, which increases the parking requirement by some number. Greg can elaborate on that particular number. So there's more parking required. Two parking spaces would be taken away for the actual outdoor outdoor patio, and the applicant has found three more spaces in the relatively close proximity. I believe, Greg, is it 25 spaces that they are required with the outdoor patio?
They would be adding with the outdoor patio. It's one space per 50 square feet, so we're looking at a 13 additional spaces being added. But the overall count was generated based not on any bar going into the established area. So you're almost doubling what the restaurant would have been vis-a-vis having the bar space.
I guess what I'm wondering is just what is the specific, so we have a variance that they're requiring, they're asking for an exception to the parking requirement. And then on the special use permit, one of the factors for granting the special use permit is that there's appropriate parking.
Yes.
And so by adding more space through an outdoor area and eliminating two spaces as a result of constructing that outdoor area, what is the actual variance? What is the number that they are asking for?
The net that they would have is essentially they're adding three. They're going to take away two. So what you're doing is you're coming down to a dozen extra spaces that the outdoor patio would be adding. And you remember, you're still looking at a space count that, again, was contingent upon a different use than the bar. The bar is what it is. We take that's granted. But just to make people aware of, you know, where we're at, because other businesses still have not committed yet to this site, and their parking is going to be potentially impacted. Depends on the hours of operation, things of that nature as well, but just to make people aware.
So is what you're saying is that because of the additional, the patio, it would have, in a perfect world, required 13 more spaces? Forgetting
yes.
The past.
Yeah, 13, and then they added, then you're taking out two extra, so then you're looking at 15 net down, and then you're adding three back, so then now you're 12 net down.
Yeah, so they're net down 12 on the addition, forgetting on the patio, about the fact that they've been approved for a special use was not enough in the beginning. Okay, just so I'm... So that's the control part. Yeah.
If this does not pass tonight, can it come before us in the future?
There's a moratorium, I think, but I don't remember.
I want to make sure that I know that if it doesn't pass tonight, that they can reapply if maybe the design changes, ideas change, more parking's found. I'm just trying to find out what happens if it passes and what happens if it doesn't pass. What happens if it passes and it doesn't work? What happens if we don't pass it? Can it come back before us?
I believe it could come back. It's not like if a zoning application is turned down, there's a period of time in which they could not come back. So if the conditions change, and Greg, check me if I'm wrong on that, but if the conditions change or the application changes or the nature of the area changes, they could come back. Greg is confirming that.
I want to say that if they were to go forward and fail, I believe there may be a year that they may have to wait before coming back. If it were to be changed or modified, I don't know if that requirement would apply. But it depends again on the changes in circumstances that would enable this to be revisited.
Would it? The parking places be affected either in a positive or negative manner with the further development of the mall? In other words, the empty spaces, depending on what goes in those empty spaces, could change whether or not this would be a possibility or not.
That's correct.
And those are the unknowns. We don't know what's going to be rented there. Of course, you never know, even if they... Whatever they put in there today might not be in there tomorrow. So once they get their special uses, it'll be a permanent.
So, but if they were allowed the special use and the other two businesses are filled, their parking is now restricted because of the spaces being used by the quarry, correct?
Parking issue is going to have to be when we've had this problem with other establishments, it's more of an internal matter per se. The requirements we have in the ordinance are what we use as our upward limit of allowing certain functions to occur. That's what our oversight is how many spaces are required for the particular establishment. In the internal sense, for competition for the spaces, that is not something per se that we govern, but the landlord would govern. We've had this issue crop up in some other areas. And when an establishment requires more than what they initially had indicated, that is something that is an internal matter between the landlord and the participants or the renters within that particular commercial area. Is not something we just govern how many spaces are required for the particular uses that are taking place within that area.
So if it's my, and I it's my mall, and I decide in that end piece, the cap piece, which is pretty good size, that I'm putting another bar restaurant in there, that's going to require, I assume, a significant number of additional parking spaces. And so when I walk in here and say I want to put this bar restaurant in there, and you're going to tell me I'm short of parking places, is the net, does that mean I don't put my bar restaurant in there?
You'd have to go and get a special use permit to have the bar. And essentially, when we total these up, we would say if there are not enough spaces at that time, that you could not have that special use, essentially, is what we're looking at.
Hey, guys. If I may, we actually do know what's going to be in the two spaces.
To go to yeah, I think you're going to have to go to the microphone.
Oh, so. Can I say something first?
Just go ahead, yeah.
We do, if it comes down to the parking is the issue with the owner, we actually have it in our lease agreement and contract that the owner was telling us we could have a patio. That's where we kind of got deceived from the beginning, because we thought, oh, it's in our contract. The owner is actually paying for the concrete to go in when we redo the patio. So that's where it's our own fault, but we just assumed, yep, the owner says we can have it. We got our special use permit for the bar from the city. We're good to go. And so we do have an okay from the owner to use those parking spots for it. Like I say, he's actually paying for the concrete in our contracts for it. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Just to address, we actually do know what is going in next to us. It is a nail salon, and the end cap, I believe, is going to be a spray tanning place. So, again, I mean, unless they're open till 2 in the morning, our hours really shouldn't affect each other that much, I guess. And everybody, like I said, we've done all our footwork. The girls in the salons next to us are all customers, regulars, can't wait for a patio to go in. The Jimmy John's employees, they're customers, can't wait for a patio to go in. So, yeah, I mean, as far as stepping on any toes with our neighbors, that should not be an issue on our end at all.
Do you have anything in writing from them, and anything to help the board feel comfortable with the neighbors, or any sort of the staff report mentioned a parking plan. I know that you've indicated 3 additional spaces. Is there anything specific that you can give relating to the neighbors and the parking, and even how many people would be on the patio, and how many more cars that might generate?
I do not have any paperwork on that. I mean, as that's all speculation and could be anything for the next few months. Like, we have no idea what this is going to turn into. the only sort of correspondence that I would have record of would be with Mr. Thunberg from Whitey's, and that was just an email where we told him that we would control our parking as well as take any steps that we can to help him out with his.
I just want to clarify a point too on the special use permits. Under standards, E, condition 7 says conditions in the area have substantially changed in at least 1 year has elapsed. Any denial by the Board of Adjustment of any prior application for a special use permit that would have authorized substantially the same use of all or part of the site. So essentially, you have to have, if this board designs this, there has to be a 1 year lapse before there can be any reapplication. The way this, I believe, is read here, I don't know if our city attorney will corroborate that or not, but I just want to make sure people understand what that limitation might be. And that means even if the conditions in the area have substantially changed, and it says and at least 1 year, it doesn't say or.
That's my recollection. But
yeah, I concur.
Bob, I've got a question for you, a technical question. With my continued recusal on this, how does that affect the quorum for this issue?
I think we, well, I'll defer to Chris, but I think we have a quorum at this point.
And that's so correct. We could vote. Correct. We have a quorum for the meeting, and so we can, yeah. Okay. So
technically, if there's a motion made here, I can't second it on this issue, right?
So unless somebody's not on this Zoom meeting, I don't know if we have a quorum if Jim recuses himself.
The meeting has a quorum with Jim's presence, even if he can't vote on this particular matter.
Right. But if Glenn makes a motion, who can second it?
Oh. Well, I could probably second it. I think I can. I don't think I'm restricted. I tend not to do that, but you can.
But is that two of the three of us?
You'd have two out of three, which would be but a majority of those present.
I think we could still do it. I guess the question is, are there reasons, for practical reasons, for just the substance of the application or other information that the board might want? In addition to, I think we could technically still move forward with a motion, but...
I guess one consideration is that we don't have more than, we only have two people voting on this, so it might be the applicant's best interest to wait till we have more people. And the second thing is there any more information, I know unless there's a lease signed and things like that, it's going to be difficult to tell us what's going to happen in the rest of that complex. But if there was any additional information that could be submitted, it might make a difference amongst the two of us and or the other members of the board if they were present for a meeting. I know this has been put off a couple times. The good part is the COVID-19 virus, and the bad part is that I'm sure that at this point in time, it's probably not a rush job, although the bars are able to open a little bit. So I don't know, it's up to the applicant at this point whether you want us to vote on it now or whether it be advantageous to you to defer this to next month and hope that we have more people that can participate, since one of the three people here today is going to abstain or has abstained. So that's your call. It's your application, so it's your. As
sure.
far as I'm concerned, it's your.
I guess we will go back to the drawing board and come back in a month.
Okay. Well, then that would be we defer this, but
yep.
And hopefully we'll one have more people, but two, if there's any more light you can shed on it, maybe that'll help us a little bit. Gwen, that's my feeling anyway. Based on that request from the applicant. I'll make a motion that we defer this matter till next month.
I'll second that.
Okay, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right, so I guess it carries. So we'll defer these two until next month then.
Thank you for your time, guys.
Yep, sorry that we're still holding up on this, but anyway. The next item is case 20023. It's 203 Grant Street, it's an R2. It's a variance to increase the allowable lot coverage in the required backyard from 40% to 70% to allow the construction of a 22-foot by 30-foot detached garage, and it's submitted by Barbara Manslot.
Have
you been? Is she there?
She is.
Oh, okay.
I am here.
Good. Staff report then.
Mr. Chairman, the location at 203 Grant Street is like many of the houses there. There's an established setback area. As you can see on attachment A, there is an area in the back near the alley right-of-way. that would enable a garage to be built within the confines of that yard, but because of the some of the constraints that have occurred, the area in back that would be required to be occupied by the garage in the rear yard setback is nearly 70%. And given the way the house is set back as well at one point when it was built at 50 feet, that setback is rather onerous. Going to the attachment B, you can see the rough sketch of the 660 square foot structure that is being requested. And at the angle, that's the blue. In the blue, the existing structure is in the yellow. And then we go to attachment C, we can see another sketch again of what the petitioner intends. We go to attachment D, then we can see the site photo, and roughly that's what you're looking at right there, is the rear of the house and where that garage area could be placed. We have one case that was establishing in a similar neighborhood a variance that was granted for a 720 square foot garage to encroach into that area in the rear yard and make up and consume more than 40% of the ground. And that was done. That case is decided in the affirmative for the petitioner to build that 720 square foot garage. Here, the petitioner is asking for a 660 square foot garage. And essentially, as I mentioned before, it's the established setback area that is causing this consternation to some regard by pushing the structure back and then restraining the amount of area in which there's buildable area, while at the same time the garage maintaining as an accessory structure separate from the house the distance of at least 8 feet, and also maintaining the setbacks, which the petitioner is doing here, away from the alley by 5 feet, in one case 7 feet. So the petitioner's meeting those requirements of setback distance, but the constraints of the way that the house was originally constructed have placed further constraints in the rear yard. So I just, in looking at that, deliberate on, I guess, those circumstances surrounding the request.
Any questions from the commission for staff? If not, would the petitioner want to present her case? Anything you'd like to say?
I don't really know whether I should attend the meeting or not, so I definitely hope that I don't have to have a 30-minute discussion like the previous one. Yeah, basically, we have a garage that's fallen down, and we need to fix it. And we can't fix it. We need to tear it down and put a new one up. And we'd like to have the size we've requested. Because obviously it's an eyesore as well as not too functional. So I don't know what else I need to add. I do actually have a little question regarding the process, in that of course the aesthetics of it is something that working with moving forward, and had originally submitted the proposal with an angle on it, but we were thinking about moving it more parallel to the alley. And also to the you probably can't see my screen, but to the east side of the property there. So instead of being at an angle, it would just be flush on the left there, and more, and not askew. And so I didn't know if that was something that I needed to clarify ahead of time, or it was kind of my assumption that it's just the percentage basis that I'm asking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Assuming that you would maintain the same building setback lines, I guess. The
building setback lines, and if the garage is going to be set farther back from the alley as a result, if it's going to be tilted so that it is not parallel, let's say running parallel to the alley, but is more parallel to the front property line, we'll say, or squared off, if it's further removed from the alley area, it will not occupy as much of the rear yard, is what I'm trying to say. So in other words, the variance request would still be viable if that's what the petitioner is indicating.
Yes, that is.
Okay. Well, anybody wish to speak opposed to it? I don't see anybody. Okay. Unfortunately, that area of town has, because things have changed over the years, we've had to have a number of adjustments and variances.
It's tight.
And I guess I don't think that's significantly different than your neighbor, actually. So that's my feeling. I don't know if anybody else in the commission has any feelings.
No.
I'd entertain a motion to either approve or deny it then.
I'll move to approve.
I will second.
Okay. I suppose we should have a roll call vote, but so I will call the roll. I guess I vote yes. Let's see, we got Tom Bergs.
Yes.
And Tansy.
Yes.
Okay, so it's passed. The next item on the agenda is case 20027. It's 4950 Woodland Drive. It's an R2. It's a variance to allow an 8-foot high fence surrounding a swimming pool, and it's submitted by Windmiller Development. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, the petitioner would like to place a pool on this lot, and he had indicated this quite a while back, and there will be a clubhouse as well, and a pool for the use of the residents of the Woodlands. It's on lot number 57 on attachment B. You see the aerial here, it's right adjacent to Middle Road, high traffic area. If we go to attachment B, you can see the lot of record is lot 57, and that'll be contained within that area. Staff, in looking at other locales that did not receive but still do have higher fences, we do go to Pheasant Hills First Edition, and they have a 7 as well as staggered as high as 8-foot high fence on attachment C, indicating the enclosure of their pool. And then the one at the bottom here is at least 6.5 feet high. That's Beacon Ridge First Edition. So there's areas where they're trying to prohibit anybody from trespassing by having an extraordinarily high fence surrounding the pool. So there is some precedent for this within the area. And we go to the plot plan, we can see in attachment D what the petitioner wants to do, where the pool is and the clubhouse and the parking for this locale. And you can see its proximity to a rather well-traveled area, Middle Road. You can see the fact that it is also going to potentially be visible from Middle Road, but the point is extra security to help make sure that the site is intended for its use for the residents of the Woodlands is the reasoning behind the 8-foot high fence.
Okay. Anybody, any questions from the commission? Anybody want to speak in favor of it? Somebody from Windmiller? Craig or somebody?
Reed is on the phone.
Reed's on the phone. You got anything you want to add, Reed?
No, not at this moment. Basically, we're just trying to keep the people out that should be out and the people in that should be in. We've had a little bit of an issue with the renters in the... Oh, am I there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The renters in the rental townhouses to the north of us with them coming over onto our property, onto our berms. So we just want to make sure they don't gain access to the pool without... just basically don't get access to our pool.
Will this be a similar style fence to the one shown in the picture at Beacon Ridge?
No, it'll be a little different. It'll have basically the fence, the vertical fence rails will go past the horizontal bars, making it harder to scale and climb over, or less desirable, I guess you could say.
Will it be chain link or?
No, it won't be chain link. It'll be aluminum with vertical. Vertical slats.
Good.
And it'll be three horizontals and two vertical slats.
Okay. Any other questions? Anybody wish to speak opposed to it? don't see anybody, then I'll entertain a motion from the commission. A board, I guess.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. Let's have a vote then. I'll vote yes. Tansy?
Yes.
Tomberg?
Yes.
Okay, it passes then. That's all we have to come before us, Greg?
I believe so, Mr. Chairman.
Then we stand adjourned. Thank you all for coming.